Is it a wise idea to mess with God? Here's Pastor Al Pittman.
Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29 tells us our God is what? A consuming fire. God is a consuming fire. God, you know, God is dangerous. You don't play with God. He's dangerous. Handle with care, because he's a consuming fire. Not that he wants us living in terror and timidity, but he demands respect. You don't play with God.
Dwelling place.
The disciples of the early church knew what it meant to truly follow hard after Christ, and we'll catch a glimpse of their passion on today's broadcast. This is The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman. We come to you each day from Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Locate us on the web at cwccs.org. If you have a Bible handy, make your way over to Acts 19, which details the ministry of Paul in Ephesus. Let's join Pastor Al for a message titled, The Unusual Life.
You know, God has called us to live an unusual life in Christ, an extraordinary life. Jesus said that I've come that you might have life and that more abundantly, right? Faith looks for the unusual. Unbelief settles for the usual, the unchallenging and the mundane. I was talking with my beautiful bride the other day, my wife, and we were talking about the passage, I believe it's in 2 Kings chapter 13, where King Joash went to Elisha. Elisha was old at this time and tired, you know, and he was actually ill. But the Syrians were invading, and so Joash came and said, hey, you know, we need help. And so Elisha asked Joash to take a bow and some arrows, and he to pull back this bow and to shoot an arrow. He shot the arrow, and he said, behold, the arrow of the Lord. And then he said, take three arrows, and he said, I want you to strike the ground. God has given you victory, but strike the ground with those arrows. And he struck the ground three times, and Elisha was ticked off. He was angry with Joash. He said, man, if you had struck, you know, five, six times, you know, God would have completely defeated your enemy, but now you're going to have trouble with your enemy the rest of your reign. And we were asked, the question was, well, he did strike the ground. I mean, he was being obedient. But as we were talking, we realized that, you know what? God looks at the heart. And God understood that Joash was just going through the motions. And sometimes we can do that as believers, you know, rather than looking for the unusual, looking for God to move mightily and coming to even to fellowship like this with a heart of expectation, we come kind of, you know, go to church, hit the ground three times. All right, I did it, you know. I'm out. God is looking at our hearts. He wants to blow our minds. He wants a people who believe that he is God, that he has already given us the victory. Amen. And so today I pray that through this message that God would stir your heart up for the unusual, for to have a heart of expectancy toward God. Because that's what we find here in Ephesus. We find the unusual going on. We stopped last time at verse 11. And so after 2 years, I mean, for 2 years in Ephesus, God used Paul in a mighty way. In verses 11 and 12, well, again, if you're here for the first time, we're going through the Bible, going through the book of Acts, and we do it a few verses at a time. So we're going to read verses 11 and 12 to start out with, but read along with me. Acts 19, verse 11. Now, God worked unusual miracles by the hand of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the disease left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Wow. I mean, this is an amazing miracle. It said it was unusual miracles that God was working through Paul, that he worked through Paul. That word worked, the Greek word of poieo, excuse me, it means to bring forth, to produce, to be the author and cause. In other words, Paul wasn't doing this, God was doing it. A lot of false teachers have taken these two verses and used them to profit off of the church. Oh, you've seen them on television probably. You know, they're selling you the anointed cloths, and you know, they just go down to a Walmart and buy a bolt of cloth and cut it up in squares and tell you that it's anointed. And if you send in 1995, they'll send you the prayer cloth, amen. and you can put that on your head or whatever's aching, and it will heal you. This is where they get it from. But what I want you to see is that this was an unusual miracle, but God was the author of it, and God caused it to happen. Calvary Worship Center exists because God caused it to happen. No man, nobody takes credit for what God has done here. God is working this unusual miracle on the west side of Colorado Springs. And I give God praise and glory for it. Amen. We have to be careful that we do not try to duplicate the things of God. One thing pastors have to always be aware of, anybody serving in ministry, is that you can't duplicate what God has done. It has to be by his hand. Nadab and Abihu, two of Aaron's sons, back in Leviticus chapter 9, learned sort of the hard way. Actually, Leviticus 9, and we go into chapter 10. But Nadab and Abihu, Aaron had four sons. Two of them was called Nadab and Abihu. You don't want to name your boys that. But that was their names. And they tried to imitate the miraculous, and God dealt with them harshly, to say the least. I want you to read along with me, if you can turn there quickly, and which I thought it was worth reading. But the account, which is really has a lesson in it for us. And the Bible says in verse 23, "And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the meeting, and came out and blessed the people. Then the glory, rather, of the Lord appeared to all the people. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar." They're offering the sacrifice unto the Lord. "When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces." Amen. Worshiping the Lord. Chapter 10, verse 1. "Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer," these little vials, these little containers, "and they put fire within them, and they put incense on it, and offered," the Bible says, "profane fire." The old King James says, "strange fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them." They were trying to duplicate the fire that came out from the Lord, consumed the offering, and they brought in their censers, put fire in there, and then put a little incense on it. So it looked good, it even smelled good, but it wasn't of God. There's a lot of so-called pastors and ministries that look good and smell good, but it's not God. Trying to duplicate the miraculous. And the Bible says, goes on here in chapter 10, verse 2, "So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron," this grieving father, "this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified." So Aaron held his peace. Now, you've got to, sometimes we take the emotion out of Scripture. You're a father, those are your two boys, you're proud of them, they're serving with you in the ministry, and to go before God, you know, violate God's word, they're doing something God did not command them to do, and they just thought, it wouldn't matter, you know, I'm just kind of nonchalantly going before God. God, it's cool, you know. No, it was hot. God did not command them. And as a father, you see your sons turned into a couple of crispy critters before the presence of the Lord, and Aaron holds his peace, that's a whole nother sermon in and of itself. Here's what I want you to see, and we go back here to Acts chapter 19. There's a real irrefutable lesson here, and we need to listen well. Phony attempts to reproduce a sovereign work of God can be deadly. A lot of people have found out the hard way, false teachers and all. Trying to reproduce that which God has done, it can be deadly. So God, he sees right through our facade of faith. We walk into church and we look good and we may even smell good, but our hearts are a million miles away from God. God looks on the heart, men judge by the outward appearance. And God knew that Nadab and Abihu were basically trying to remanufacture that which only he could do. "By those who come near me," he said to Moses, said to Aaron, "the Lord said, By those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. The Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy. God wants us to be holy. That doesn't mean some stuffed shirt, you know, somebody just kind of prudish and, you know, that's what we think about. We think about holiness. No. Holiness speaks about the character of God. We must be like our Father. We must reverence his presence. Therefore, we should not approach him or his work irreverently, but have a sense of holiness and utter dependence upon God and his work. The unusual miracles, therefore, were not of Paul, is the point that I'm making. They were not of Paul. This is something that God had authorized and God had caused to happen. Now, in verses 13 and 14 here in Acts chapter 19, we have an example of, of presumption in regards to God's will, of presuming or assuming upon the will of God. And we see here a tragic example in verses 13 and 14 for somebody trying to duplicate, if you will, the miraculous.
Pastor Al will be back in a few moments with the second half of today's message in Acts 19. The Dwelling Place is a listener-supported radio outreach. We realize that the current pandemic has disrupted everyone's life, including financially. But there are ways that you can support this ministry that don't involve finances. Praying for us is one way, and perhaps the most important way. Please pray that people struggling through the coronavirus pandemic would be led to listen to The Dwelling Place, and that the Word of God would become real in their lives as they listen to the messages Pastor Al shares. We would also like to pray for you, and you can send us your prayer request by going to our website, cwccs.org, and clicking the Need Prayer tab at the top of the page. That's cwccs.org. Now here's Pastor Al with the second half of today's message, titled Embers of Revival.
Then some, verse 13 says, then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus, whom Paul preaches. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. Amen. In that day, there were roving groups of Jewish exorcists who went around exorcising spirits out of people. They would do it for money. It was pretty profitable. And seven sons of Sceva were involved in this. They weren't roving around, probably, but they were involved with this. And again, it was profitable. And obviously, it worked at times because, you know, these guys were engaged in it. They wouldn't be doing it if it didn't work. And so they thought, well, hey, there's a... If Paul's casting out demons and he's doing this in the name of Jesus, we'll just tap into, you know, his resource, you know, and use that name as well. They did have some success, but I believe it was the success they experienced was lying signs and wonders. And the reason I say that is because the devil comes as an angel of light. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14 tells us. In other words, it's a good warning to us as believers. Don't follow the Lord merely for the signs. Make sure you're following the Savior. There's a difference. I run across believers from time to time that they're into the signs, or there's a new book out, there's a new movie, and they're, oh, what if? And it's like, wait a minute, it's a movie. Make sure you stay in the Word of God. Make sure you're not following just the signs. And there are signs that follow believers. There's fruitfulness, fruit of the Spirit and all that, but make sure you're following the Savior and not the signs. Jesus warned in Matthew chapter 16, he said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. You ever think about that? The Jews were saying, Jesus, show us a sign, show us a sign. He said, you know what? You know, he was performing all these good works and all, but he was still like, show us a sign. And Jesus said, the only sign I'm going to show you is the sign of Jonah the prophet, or the prophet Jonah. And what sign is that? Well, Jonah was in the belly of the fish, the great fish, for 3 days and three nights, and he was burped up onto the beach. Amen. The fish just, and there was Jonah. And Jesus said, that's the only sign you're going to have, because Jesus would be in the belly of the earth for 3 days and three nights and would rise again on the third day. Amen. Jonah in the belly of the fish 3 days, Jesus in the earth for 3 days. He said, that's the sign. Why was that so important? Because that is the ultimate sign that validates Jesus as the only one that we should follow. Amen? So who should I follow? I'm following one who's risen from the dead. That's who we follow. It validates who Jesus is. If he did all those wonderful miracles and it was still in the tomb, your salvation would be in vain. But he lives. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to say that with some vibrato. You can't just say,
he lives.
He lives. Hallelujah. Amen. He's alive. And therefore, we can rejoice that we have security, peace with God, security in our salvation, because he lives. Hallelujah. Therefore, the Bible says, now test the spirits. You know you should test the spirits. Don't believe every spirit. Come on, don't be a sucker for Satan. Don't be a sucker for the devil. Test the spirits, see if they be from God. That's what it says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. And how do we test the spirits? By every sign. People come to me with things or whatever and say, Pastor, what about this? And that's great. Love the questions. I don't always have an answer. But the first thing I do is I look at it through the lens of Scripture. I look at it through the Scripture. I don't care what our opinion is or what some, fiction writer said or whatever. What does God's Word say? Look at every sign through the lens of Scripture so you will not be deceived. Now, the sons of Sceva, they were sign junkies. I mean, they were driven by the signs. They were the seven sons of a Jewish chief priest, and they were drawn to this, to exorcism and all because of the notoriety. I mean, you should put yourself in their shoes. They're just being human, the notoriety and the profit that came with it. And the notoriety, I mean, all the the chicks dig you, when you can exercise spirits. Amen. They want the notoriety in the community. Come on, they're guys, seven sons. Did I say seven sons? Right? And some of you guys know what I'm talking about. We used to go to the gym and do curls for the girls, right? Amen. And so then the notoriety, I would be popular, And then, of course, the money was an attraction to them. And then plus they were the seven sons of Sceva. And he was a Jewish chief priest, and so they had some prominence. And they thought, well, maybe, because they are the preacher's kids, so to speak, they have a little bit of edge on the rest of the exorcists or those who are exorcising people. And so, yet Scripture begs to differ. It didn't matter who their daddy was or anything else. They were using the name of Jesus. And we read here in verse 15 what the Bible says, when they came to this man possessed by a demon, and he said, we exorcise you and by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. And in verse 15, he said, and the evil spirit answered, the evil spirit, not the man, but the evil spirit in the man, answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? You know you're in trouble when the devil looks at you and goes, and who are you? I'm a member of First Baptist. I go to Calvary Worship Center. Amen. And who are you? I know Jesus. I tremble before him. I know Paul. Jesus is using him mightily. But who, by the way, are you trying to be? I always imagine the devil smoking a cigarette. I mean, a man smoking a cigarette when he does that. He didn't have a stance like this. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you? That's my impersonation. But who are you again? And verse 16 says, then the man in whom this evil spirit was leaped on them and overpowered them, seven dudes. The daddy didn't give them karate lessons, I guess. And prevailed against them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. You got one man beat down seven dudes and rip all the clothes off. That's a bad man. Amen. You see, at the name of Jesus, James says in James chapter 2, verse 19, demons tremble. But without transformation, Jesus is just information. And the devil knows those who are authentic. He knows those who are not. Without transformation, Jesus is just information. And the Bible says on that day, with your information, Jesus will say, I never knew you. He told Nicodemus, you must be born again. There must be transformation. If we will operate in the power of God, we must be transformed. But all the seven sons of Sceva had was information. They were not born again. They were simply using the name of Jesus. And one man, possessed by an evil spirit, jumped on them and beat them, as we used to say back in the day, like they stole something. Amen? You ever hear that phrase? Beat him like he stole something. And they did steal something. They stole the name of Jesus. And they were using it for their own profit. Aaron's sons found out, and these seven sons of Sceva also figured it out, God is not something to play with. God is not something to play with. Those who approach me must regard me as holy, the Lord God said. My mother used to have a saying to us kids around the house. She said, I don't ask for respect, I demand it. Amen? I got the wounds to prove it. No, anyway, Mama would get a hold of you. You didn't act disrespectful. And then my folks were, you know, were raised in the South, and in the South it was yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. I know that's not for a lot of you, but, you know, that's the way I was raised. My dad called me, boy, come in here. What? What? Woo! Or yeah? Or huh? You didn't hear that in my house. Yes, sir. No, sir. Right, sir. Amen. It was called respect back then. We live in an age where, as Paul said in the last days, men will be disrespectful to parents, disrespectful to authority. Different time back then. But Aaron and his sons and seven sons of Sceva discovered that you don't play with God. Why? Because Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29 tells us our God is what? A consuming fire. God is a consuming fire. God, you know, God is, I'll say it, God is dangerous. You don't play with God. He's dangerous. Handle with care. Because he's a consuming fire. Not that he wants us living in terror and timidity, but he demands respect. You don't play with God.
This has been The Dwelling Place, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Al Pittman, Senior Pastor at Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. If you enjoy Pastor Al's teaching ministry, we have some good news for you. You can listen, watch, or download an archive of past messages with a simple mouse click at cwccs.org. Just click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're checking out our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com, and you can find One Place on the internet and with a search on your Alexa or Google Play-enabled device. Have you considered becoming a financial supporter of The Dwelling Place? We count on your support to keep this radio ministry going and growing. You can support this program with a one-time gift or become a monthly supporter. If you'd like to join our support team, you can do so at our website, cwccs.org. Or by texting the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center. You'll find a helpful video, directions, and the current schedule we have for limited access live services at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. Have a wonderful day in the Lord. And join us next time for another study with Pastor Al Pittman, presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado.